وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of recompense. As to what follows, verily the most truthful speech is the Quran, the book of Allah, and the best guidance is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of affairs are the ones that we introduce into this deen of ours, because every newly introduced matter is an innovation, and every innovation will lead astray, and whatever is astray will be going to the hellfire. Brothers and sisters in Islam, it is very, very unfortunate. It's very depressing, very saddening, to see that many of our Muslim brothers and sisters are or have insisted on getting involved or reviving or partaking or initiating a celebration which is absolutely foreign to Islam. A celebration which is absolutely foreign to Islam. This celebration is that of the Mawlid. The Mawlid, the lexical meaning here, Wilada, Walada, Lu, أو ما أشتق منها. All these words and the derivatives thereof have to do with birth. Have to do with birth. Allah says, وَوَالِدٍ وَمَا وَلَدٍ, and a father and that which he gave birth to. Walad, the verb, it could be the noun walad as in a boy, or walada meaning delivered or gave birth. Milad and mawlid have to do with the act of celebrating a birthday. Now, the concept of Milad, as I said in the beginning, is foreign to Islam. And one can only wonder, how can something be foreign to Islam yet be practiced, let's say, on an international level by Muslims of almost every country? It is very spread and prevalent among the Muslims. And how could something that is not part of Islam be so popular among the Muslims? We say in response to that we have been taught in the Quran already by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that numbers don't mean anything. Numbers are not an indication of the truthfulness or the lack of it, the validity or the invalidity of any subject matter. The numbers make no difference. In fact, we learned that it's the other way around. Usually, the lesser the numbers, the more probable, it is more likely that the truth is with the lesser numbers, not the greater numbers. Allah, for example, says, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you were to obey the majority of the people on earth, they will mislead you from the path of Allah. Allah says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ, and a small number among my slaves are the ones who are truly thankful. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ, and most of them believe not in Allah except while they associate partners with Him. Excuse me, let me just turn off this phone here. So all of these ayat indicate that numbers are meaningless. meaning great numbers. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ فَطُوبًا لِلْغُرَبًا. Islam began as something strange, and it will return to the state of being strange. So give glad tidings to the strangers. قَالُوا مَنْ هُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? He said in one of the narrations, there are a small number of people who are upright and righteous. Among a large number of people who are evil and corrupt, those who will listen to them will be way less than those who will oppose them. Most people will not listen to those small fraction of people upon the truth. And to be frank and upfront with you, without sugarcoating, those who don't celebrate the Mawlid today among the Muslim Ummah are that minority. They are those strangers, those practicing Muslims who don't partake in the Mawlid are the minority, and they are the strangers. The majority are in error, whether intentionally or unintentionally, whether they do so upon knowledge or because of ignorance, that's a whole nother discussion. Nevertheless, the fact that they're getting involved in the Mawlid in any way, shape or form is indicative of their deviance and their misunderstanding of the deen and its principles. And you have the right to say why. The reason why is because Allah has already perfected His deen. Islam has been perfected 1400 plus years ago, when Allah revealed the ayah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the year of Hajj, in Hajjatul Wada', the farewell pilgrimage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one which he died soon after. The ayah was revealed while he was in Arafah, in Arafat, on the day of Arafah. He was in the mountain of Arafat on the day of Arafah. Allah revealed an ayah which every Muslim must understand, not only read in Ramadan. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. This day, meaning on the day that ayah was revealed, I have perfected your religion for you. Perfected. Look up the definition. Look up the meaning of the word perfect in any English dictionary. Look it up and internalize the intent. Perfect means you can add or delete. Adding makes it imperfect, deleting makes it imperfect. Perfect is, it is exactly how it's supposed to be. So we say perfect. I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and I am pleased with Islam as a religion, as a way of life for you. Allah told us He's already pleased with Islam the way He revealed it then. And Imam Malik said in commenting on this ayah, whosoever introduces into Islam anything, even if he perceives it to be something good, he has alleged that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam betrayed the message of Islam. Because Allah said that on that day He perfected the religion. So whatever was not part of the religion when that ayah was revealed cannot possibly be part of the religion today. And you all know, even every single person at the Mawlid knows, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never practiced this celebration of his birthday, nor did the Sahaba who loved him way more than any one of us can ever love him, nor did the Tabi'een who loved him more than we can ever love him, nor did the four Imams, which all Muslims agree that we wind up following one way or another in their fiqh and aqeedah. Neither one of them ever celebrated the Mawlid. When did the Mawlid come into existence? The Mawlid came into existence hundreds of years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By who? By the Fatimites in Egypt. And it is good for you and I to know that these Fatimites, according to many of the historians and the scholars, they were Jews. They were hypocrite Jews. Jews who pretended to be Muslims outwardly but inwardly they were Jews. And they are the ones who brought into this, they brought the celebration into the into Islam. The Fatimites. They're doing something which neither the Sahaba nor the first three generations were able to identify. They are the ones who identified it. They are the ones who identified it. Subhanallah al-Azim. The Shia. Jews in the form of hypocrites claiming to be Muslim of the Shia fraction of the Fatimites are the ones who began and introduced this concept of Mawlid. So let it be known for every practicer, for everyone who practices this Mawlid, is actually imitating these wicked losers. And he's doing something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do. These are the ones who introduced it. Where did it come from? It came from Christianity. It came from Christianity and the celebration of Christmas, the so-called celebration of the birth of the Son of God on the 25th of December, which is another fallacy and fabrication, even in Christianity. Nonetheless, Muslims are actually imitating the kuffar and the disbelievers of their various ideologies, Christianity in particular, when they get involved in celebrating this birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is very much similar to what the Christians do on the 25th of December. And our deen doesn't work like that. Our deen doesn't work like that. And the amazing thing about it is that the scholars, there's absolutely no authentic tradition as to when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. It's amazing. Yani people who do this on the Rabi' al-Awwal, the 12th or the 13th of Rabi' al-Awwal, this is not an authentic date which we can conclude beyond a shadow of doubt that it was the day when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. We can't. In fact, many of the scholars, like Ibn Abdul Barr, he used to be of the opinion that the Prophet ﷺ was born in Ramadan. That he was born in Ramadan. And there are around maybe 10 to or more different opinions as to when the Prophet ﷺ was actually born. Was it in the beginning of Rabi' al-Awwal or at the end of Rabi' al-Awwal? What we know is that he died alayhi salatu wasalam in Rabi' al-Awwal. As to whether he was born in that month, and even if he was born in this month, which day in particular, we have absolutely no authentic reference whatsoever. We know that he died alayhi salatu wasalam on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. So those who are celebrating the Mawlid are actually celebrating the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, but they're so ignorant that they don't even know what they're doing. So you see now, we have no authentic date. These people are trying to get closer to Allah. Now we appreciate the good intention. If you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, jazakallahu khayran. May Allah increase you in love, and may Allah also guide you to express this love in a manner which is pleasing to Him. Meaning to Allah. Because Allah taught us in the Quran how to prove our love. Read Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 31. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. This is the Prophet ﷺ being commanded to say this to us, to everyone on earth. Follow me, Allah will love you. If you truly love Allah, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Either you say that he didn't know that his birthday was important, so then you're saying that he did not have the knowledge of Islam, and he did not, you know better than him. You're more knowledgeable than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you say he didn't know, and the people later discovered, then we're saying that they know more than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the concept of disbelief. Or he knew but he didn't say anything about it, so he betrayed the message. He concealed some of the things which Allah revealed unto him. And this is also a concept of disbelief. And you have no third option. Either you claim he knew but he didn't say anything about it, or he didn't know and you know. There is no third option. There is no third option. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to understand that the matter is not light. Allah says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whosoever opposes and contradicts the messenger after the truth has become clear to him, and he follows the path other than that of the believers, we will allow him to take the path which he has chosen. However, we will place him and we will make him taste the hellfire, and what an evil destination and abode. If someone wants to oppose the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of the believers, when this ayah was revealed, the way of the believers was the way of the Sahaba. Whoever wants to go against the Messenger of Allah and the Sahaba by practicing something which they did not practice, Allah will allow this person to do that, but He will place him in Jahannam in the life to come. You saying for celebrating a Mawlid? I say yes, for celebrating a Mawlid. Because you're insisting on innovating into this deen, even though the Prophet ﷺ said, every kullu bid'atin dalala, every innovation leads astray. Every innovation leads astray. So we need to keep ourselves in check. This idea of Mawlid comes from the Christians, the Jews, and the Shia. The Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the four Imams and others never practiced it. All of a sudden, it became the condition for your love or your hate to the Prophet ﷺ. We have reached a point where if you don't celebrate the Mawlid, you're accused of not loving the Prophet ﷺ. And if you partake in the Mawlid, suddenly you love the Prophet ﷺ, while it's the other way around. They have twisted the facts. They have twisted the facts so that those who truly love the Messenger of Allah and don't do that which he didn't do have now become labeled as people who don't appreciate him, don't respect him, don't venerate him, don't love him, even though Allah knows those are the ones who love him, venerate him, and respect him in the utmost sense. And those who oppose him go against his command and ignore his statements and his warnings. He warned us, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whosoever amongst you lives after me shall see a lot of difference. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. So upon you is my sunnah. And his sunnah is not to celebrate his birthday. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. And the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. They did not celebrate the Mawlid. تَمَسَّكُ بِهَا. Hold on to it. وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. And bite on it with your molar teeth. And woe to you from introducing anything into this religion. Because anything which you introduce is misguidance, and every misguidance will take to the hellfire. What more explicit words and terms and expressions do we need? How much clarity do we need? It is clear like the sun that this is not part of Islam in any way, shape or form, and that we have been specifically warned against it. Because nothing destroyed the previous religions except innovations. Nothing destroyed them except innovations. What do you think Christianity is today? Christianity as we know it today is a combination of innovations in belief and in worship. Jesus became God and the Son of God and one of the three in the Holy Trinity with the Holy Ghost. Then you know, the concept of eating blood, drinking blood and eating the flesh of God and drinking the blood of God in the form of wine and bread. And musical instruments and orchestra and the churches. And idols being worshipped and crosses being kneeled before and prostrated to. What are all these? When did Jesus come with this? These are all innovations. Innovations in the religion of Jesus. Which was really what the Jews were upon. It was the religion of Bani Israel. With the modifications which Allah gave them in the Injil, the Gospel, which we don't have. Innovations made them what they are today. And because Islam is the final religion, and Quran is the final revelation, and the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the final messenger, Allah closed the door so that no one can introduce anything into this deen and think it is lawful in order to preserve this religion. Otherwise, if innovations were allowed in Islam, then we wouldn't be practicing the same religion that they practiced 1400 years ago. Because people would have changed it completely. But Allah decreed that the religion will be preserved through the people of knowledge, documented until today. So anyone who goes against these authentic documentations, anyone who goes against the authentic teachings of Islam practiced by the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba and those who came after them, is going against the way of the believers. Allah is not pleased with that. We don't care about the culture, we don't care about who feels otherwise, who gets emotional regarding the subject matter. Our deen doesn't function in this manner. It's a fitna. But we have to be strong. We have to stop this mawlid and make sure that the people around us stop this mawlid. Without creating greater fitna, without causing more chaos. Nonetheless, an effort must be made to educate the people. It's awareness. Many people just don't know any better. We know for a fact. Perhaps maybe most of them, if not half of those who get involved or partake in the mawlid, don't really know that it is wrong. They think they're doing something good. So if we don't inform them about the error, about the invalidity of this practice, who will? We must do that. Just so we can establish a proof against them. Afterwards, if they want to insist, their affair is with Allah. As for us, we don't go there. If it's being done in your house, you don't stay in the house. You don't eat from the sweets which are distributed on that day. You don't help in cooking them. You don't show them where the shop is so they can go buy it from them. Nothing. The people of Sunnah have absolutely no involvement whatsoever in this event at all. Even if someone asks you, where's the sweets shop? I want to go buy some sweets. It is not allowed for you to tell them it's right there down the street. Knowing that they're going to go buy the sweet so they can distribute it in the Mawlid celebration. You're not allowed to even tell them where the place is. You cannot say anything. Rather, you have to tell them it is not permissible for you to do this. You do not love the Messenger of Allah more than his companions. And you cannot possibly know and appreciate him more or more, know more of his right than his companions. Don't worry. Birthdays have existed since we can remember. It's not like they just invented birthdays recently. Birthdays existed from before the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba must have known that people celebrated the birthday because Jesus' birthday used to be celebrated way before the advent of the Prophet ﷺ. They knew that there was a concept of celebrating someone's birthday. And they never did it. And this is the silencing refutation, really. Because خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best of people, not خَيْرُ النَّاسِ, the best of mankind is my generation. With the exception of the other prophets, is my generation, the Sahaba, the best. And Allah, and the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, مَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whosoever Allah intends goodness for, He will give him understanding of the religion. Now look at the correlation between them. Whoever Allah intends goodness for, He will make him understand Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said they are the best goodness. They were upon the highest level of goodness, meaning they had the highest understanding of the religion. We cannot possibly understand Islam better than they did. If they didn't practice this innovative celebration, it is haram for us to do it. So brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to keep it real. We need to wake up. The Muslims are going through turmoil. They're going through hardship. A lot of fitan happening in the Muslim world. And the reason why we're having these calamities is because we have abandoned the true, authentic, sound teachings of Islam. And we have innovated into this deen and added practices which are not part of it, and avoided and ignored practices which are part of it from the Sunnah. The way the Muslims can change their condition is not by revolution against the ruler. The way the Muslims can change their condition is by purifying Islam from the nonsense which was added to it, then raising the next generation upon the correct understanding of Islam. Then and only then Allah Azza wa Jalla will give us firmness upon earth. He will keep our feet firm, and He will give us stability, and He will give Islam the power to be the ruling factor and the ruling party in this world. This is the way it's going to be done. It is not by dancing in the street. It is not by screaming. It is not by demonstrations. It is not by protests. It is not by complaining. It is not by mixing between men and women and singing. No, no, no. This doesn't bring any good. This brings chaos. People think they're going to change, but then after which they call for democracy. No, it doesn't happen this way. It doesn't happen this way. It will happen when we go back to Islam, the way it was practiced by the early generations, and raise our children in this manner. Then and only then Allah will change the condition of this ummah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to facilitate that, and to make us among the nucleus, or the nucleus which will bring forth, inshaAllah, this generation of Muslims who are sincere in practicing Islam, who are keen on propagating it, and who will carry this the flag of Tawheed and spread it in the whole world. And we ask Allah to give him victory and make him the dominant force. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. One second, I need to plug in the adapter before the laptop turns off. We have a question here, but just give me a moment because my throat is hurting and I need just to take a sip of something. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. طيب, please, can you give some examples to illustrate the meaning of the phrase to love and hate someone, something for the sake of Allah? Yes, surely. That means that there are absolutely no worldly attachments to this love. Yani you hate someone because in the deen of Allah, this person or this thing is hated. Okay? For example, Allah hates the disbelievers, Allah hates the innovators, Allah hates the people who commit sins. And so you hate them according to Allah's hate. And simultaneously Allah loves the believers, He loves the good doers, He loves the righteous people, so you love them because Allah loves them. That's it. It's loving who Allah loves and hating whoever Allah hates. How do we know who does Allah love and who does Allah hate? It's in the Quran and the Sunnah. They are clear in the cross and learn who are those whom Allah loves and their characteristics, and who are those whom Allah does not love and their characteristics. That the Muslims use the mawlid to do da'wah, such as give a small talk or lecture, but they do not actually do any extravagant celebration, sort of speak. Please comment. No. Nothing should be done on that day. If someone wants to give da'wah, then why choose the day where the people celebrate the mawlid? Yani, why choose the day which people use to celebrate an innovated celebration? So we say this is, you know, a terrible choice. That's like someone for this Christmas party to give da'wah to the Christians. You know? Oh, well, what? You're going to be in a Christmas party and they're going to have a Christmas tree and they're going to sing their songs and drink their wine and you're going to be hanging out there with them so you can give them da'wah on any other day except. We say that is not a suitable environment for da'wah. That is not a suitable environment for da'wah. So you don't give da'wah, choose such days. Now, Wallahu alam. Women, can they remove hair from their upper lips through using wax? Yes, they can. Woman may remove any facial hair with the exception of her eyebrows. She can remove any facial hair. I mean by facial hair that, in the case of some women, they may be a little hairy. If such hair does grow on the chin or on a mouth or under the nose or, you know, above the lip, a woman may totally remove that using wax or otherwise, because it is not the norm for women to have hair in these areas. And so that doesn't fall under the namas, which is the one that the Prophet ﷺ had cursed, which is plucking the eyebrows or removing the eyebrows or playing with the eyebrows. This is where the prohibition lies. Well, that's a broad question. Akhi, what do you mean? Is it concerning those who are next to him? Is it concerning, there are many different aspects of this, or to this question. I don't know which one you're referring to. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. I'm married. Can you please tell what are the halal ways to avoid pregnancy in Islam? One needs to give gap between children. Are coil or taking contraceptive pills or using such products which are available easy like condom and so on to stop pregnancy allowed to use? Well, the general principle is that avoiding children is not Islamically recommended, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had first encouraged to marry a woman who bears children easily, the loving, you know, woman who bears children, you know, they eat with this on the hour. Generally speaking, Islam encourages bringing more children into this world. However, the scholars have said that there are some cases or situations where, for some families, this may cause some conflict for them, not necessarily because of financial reasons, because Allah is the one who sustains, but for other reasons. So anyone who has a valid reason as to why they want to have a gap between children, then using any means are fine. No problem. Provided that they don't cause any harm. There are no side effects. Wallahu alam. Question. I have a question in comparative religion. How can I disprove to my Christian friends that the prophecies mentioned in the Old Testament about the crucifixion are false? Well, this may be a difficult task at times, unless you are well versed in the Bible. But what would be wiser is invalidity of the Bible as a textual authority. The Bible has been corrupted. There are contradictions, discrepancies, differences, additions, different versions of the Bible, whether the Old or the New Testament. So you really don't want to dwell into these things unless that you are a person of expertise. And if you're not a person of, often this week we have had and I've come across Christians, you know, using evidences, yet they're not very knowledgeable in that field, and then the Christian find up refuting them and making it seem that they are correct and is wrong. So don't go into today unless you have the means to do so. The fact that you're asking me is already no bueno. Which means that there may be some. Anyways, don't do that. Just prove to him La ilaha illallah. Sure, I will refresh the browser and return. Okay, my mom has no Sufi intentions, but she would sometimes go to Maulid for her friend's sake. How can I stop her, brother? Well, when it comes to your mother, you have to be very, very sensitive. The last thing you want to do is wind up being disobedient or undutiful to your mother, in the process of guiding her to the Sunnah. And so you create a bit, you have to be very delicate in your approach. If you think that speaking to her on this matter is going to create more problems, then avoid doing so, and try to deliver the information to her indirectly, not by face to face kind of confrontation. So have someone who's a relative of yours who can freely speak to her, explain that to her, or warn her against the fact that if she shouldn't go to her, there for her friend's sake, because, we do things for the sake of Allah, for the sake of now. But you be careful of creating a greater fitna by trying to stop her. Scholars have differed extensively, my suggestion is that you and see which position you lean towards, right? Wallahu alam. Just in case you're interested, the position which I personally, and I'm not saying this is a fatwa, Nor am I imposing it on anyone, but after reading on this matter for quite a long time, the position which I personally lean towards is the fact that you go down with your hands first. You go down with your hands first, and Allah knows best. If you disagree though, that's fine. As my mother, my Catholic mother, insists that I should come with her to church sometimes to worship one true God. Wow. What can I tell her to explain to her that I cannot do that without making her super upset? Well, you can explain to her that, the one God that you're worshipping has already revealed to us that the places where He is worshipped are the masajid. And so, not in Islam go to a place a temple or a church of other religions to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and the issue, and of course because of exist there. Going there to church, period, to visit or for some political benefit, then some of the Sahaba had done that. But to go there and, you know, as to accompany one's parents or one's, you know, sibling or one's friend to the church, then this is not allowed in Islam, and the scholars have plenty of fatwa prohibiting that. How to do it without making her upset? Just explain to her that, you know, Islam is not like that. It is not a matter of choice. It's not like how you like your coffee with 2 spoons of sugar or with cream. Just plain. You know, it doesn't have such whom in subtly matters of. And so, in our religion, according to the teachings of Islam, we don't go there. Because we don't believe that God is being worshipped there. Allah is not being worshipped there. Allah, the people are disbelieving in Allah there. But then you have to explain that to her and on another occasion, so she will not be offended. But again, these are very delicate issues. And you know your mom best. But just try to be in the nicest way, in the kindest way, explicitly. You cannot go to such places because you don't believe that Allah is being worshipped there. It's Jesus who is being worshipped. I don't know. Sterilization? I don't know. Allahu A'lam. In treating Christians, Jews, yes, Islam had made an exception. They were allowed to eat from the meat that is slaughtered by the Jews and the Christians, provided that they do it according to the Islamic principles, as in they don't electrocute the animal, they slit the throat as Islam teaches. We may eat the meat, not the. And we may marry their women, provided that they are chaste. So these are the exceptions which the Jews and the Christians have. Other than that, then they are among the rest of the disbelievers. They're just like them and their associate upon the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So they have an equivalent and an equal treatment with the rest of the kuffar in that regard. Even though they're considered better because they at least they're people of the book. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're still, in the state of disbelief. Can we celebrate Prophet's birthday daily? No, we can't celebrate it once a year, let alone daily. Maybe you missed the lecture. We cannot celebrate it once a year, let alone daily. We don't celebrate birthdays in Islam. There's no such thing. There's no such thing in Islam. Now, just excuse me. If a friend invites us to a Christian marriage, are we allowed to attend? No, you're not allowed to attend. You're not allowed to attend because what is disobedience and all kinds of forbidden things which Islam does not allow, from women being half naked, mixing with men, flirtation, alcohol consumed, all that will take from disobey. Because of the love which we have for Allah and His religion, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Can we be honest in telling our children which child we love better or more than the other, just so to keep an open, honest conversation? No, you may not. No, you
you may not. This is a grave error to tell the child, I love your sister more or I love your sister. Love them equally. And even if you lean to them, you don't inform the others, because this will create psychological problems in these children. Yeah. Salaam alaikum salaam. I've heard a non-Muslim woman ask the question, why does a wife or why a wife cannot enter Jannah without her husband's permission? I would like to know your opinion, thank you. Well, I don't understand. Woman cannot have permission of husband, she will enter Jannah. Her husband has nothing to do with her entering Jannah or not. If you mean in this dunya, that him being pleased with her and her fulfilling his means for her to enter Jannah, otherwise, do with it on the day of resurrection. Is it haram to overwin to Christian friends if they ask you to offer them? I don't understand the question. I don't understand what you mean by overwin. Can we be judgmental on a scholar or a mufti who does not have a beard? Yes, we can. We don't take knowledge from him. If someone who doesn't have a beard is trying to teach you about Islam, do not learn anything from him. If the simplest act of worship, the simplest act of worship upon a man, and one of the manifestations of our love of the Prophet ﷺ, if he cannot hear that, if he cannot live up to that, then what is he going to teach? We don't take knowledge from an individual who does not keep a beard. Does touching the private part invalidate the wudu? If yes, what is the area that is considered as private? Well, brother, you know, Allah yahdik. Yes, touching the private part invalidate the wudu if done intentionally. And the area which is considered that is the private parts. What is the attitude of Islam towards vegetarianism? It is not part of Islam to be a vegetarian, even though Islam will not impose on anyone to eat meat. If someone wishes to do so because of a diet or because of, you know, preferences, that's fine, as long as they don't consider it part of the religion and they don't avoid it because of, you know, what is believed among some of the Hindus, that if you eat a cow, you may be eating a god. Because the animal rights people who say that, you know, animals shouldn't be slaughtered and it's oppression to the animals, so they don't eat meat as means to preserve the animals. As long as these wicked intentions don't exist and someone just simply doesn't like meat and they prefer to have, you know, vegetarian stuff, that's fine. But if they have some other belief behind it and they think this is part of Islam, they're dead wrong. If the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ are not respected in a mosque, for example, not standing shoulder to shoulder as Prophet ﷺ said, would the salah be accepted? Yes, the salah would be accepted, but the shaitan will be whispering to those in the salah, and he will come in between the gaps. And Allah may make their hearts differ because of them not straightening the rows in the salah. Is it haram to offer wine to a Christian friend if they ask you to offer them wine? Of course it is haram. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the one who squeezes the wine, the one who carries it, the one who sells it, the one who buys it, the one who delivers it, the one who consumes it, the one who sits with the one who drinks it. All of these are cursed. All of them are cursed. You got nothing to do with wine, chief. Salam, brother. Wa alaikum salam. I have a tough question from an atheist cousin. He asked if the question of where did Allah come from. So I told him that if everything came from something, then what would go in that? Then that would go infinity, and we would never get there. And then he asked, "How do you know that that thing that was uncreated is Allah? And what is your proof that that thing is Allah?" So I said that even if I told you that that thing is Allah, you can neither prove I'm right or wrong, and you would never know exactly besides coming up with a theory. Is what I said right or wrong? If you have anything for me to add, please add. Thank you, brother. Well, listen, akhi, let's just first understand that any atheist is abnormal. Atheists are abnormal people because Allah created human beings with the natural disposition. He instilled in us deep in, we were predisposed on believing in the existence of Allah. Anyone who denies that is an out, you know, straight up liar. That's the truth. You cannot be an atheist. You cannot. And so you say to him, what is the proof? The proof is that Allah Azza wa Jal, who created us, identified Himself as the Creator and gave us evidences for it. Now for you to disprove that, you need to give me an alternative. Find me another God who created us and claimed to do so. Show me the revelation which He revealed, through which messengers did He send this revelation, and give me the evidences for it. If you're unable to prove it, then we have one reliable source, which is Allah. You cannot disprove that He is the Creator. The only thing you can do is prove that someone else did it so we can compare, and you don't have anyone else to offer. Result, it is Allah. Naam. Can I put a sutra in a congregation salah? No, you cannot. If you're the imam, then yes, you need to pray to a sutra. If you're a ma'moom, you're the one being led in salah, you're not the leader of salah, then it's an innovation to put a sutra. In fact, you don't need a sutra, because even if someone passed in front of you, it does not affect your salah. Because the sutra of the imam is a sutra for you. It doesn't involve you, it doesn't affect you. MashaAllah, the questions are from two people. What is the best method to be used to start a religious conversation with a non-Muslim? You missed this Friday's da'wah class. Please go to hearislam.com and go to a folder called Abu Mus'ab, and a series called Enhance the Da'wah in a Glance, and listen to the most recent lecture. We explain exactly how to do so. And we give practical examples. What is Islam's opinion on correlation? Does not imply causation. I got this from a really stubborn atheist. I don't know what that means, Habibi. Well, yeah, I know. I can interpret it now. Correlation does not imply causation. Let's say this is a philosophical statement that is worth two pennies. And I say no, correlation does imply causation. Because when things are in correlation, when things are harmonious, it means that there must be someone who put them in harmony. Unless it is something that is insignificant. But this universe and its intricacy, the intricacy of the universe and the way it functions is not something that we simply can call a minor or a trivial correlation. This is something that is well organized. And there is a causation. The cause is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next question is, which is the surah to be recited more in the life? Allahu a'lam. You probably will recite the most in your life surah al-Fatiha, because you read it in every salah. Beautiful. Okay guys, Zakum la khair. And make sure you stay away from the mawlid. Nail and tooth, or tooth and nail. Can I recite the verses recited by the imam during salah if I don't want to get distracted? No, you cannot. You just recite the Fatiha, then you listen attentively. طيب جزاكم الله خيرا وآخر دعوانا أولي. How to control anger? You need a whole lecture. You need a whole lecture. And we are at the end of our session. I apologize. MashaAllah, what happened? You told me there were no more questions. What is the historic background of the appearance of such a thing as burning candles in churches? Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. I don't know when they started burning candles in churches. But nevertheless, it's an innovation among the many innovations. And knowing that, I don't know if it's going to make any difference. But I know you may look it up on, probably if you Google these things, you'll get, or Wikipedia, you usually find the references easily. طيب, this time I'm really going to conclude. Zakum la khair. And we'll see you inshallah on Friday, 4:30 p.m. Mecca time. I believe it's 9:30 your time, or 1:30, I'm not sure, the monitor can confirm. Zakum la khair, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.